Okay, open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We're, during Sundays, we've been studying about building a foundation with our personal relationship with the Holy Spirit and how He operates with the church. And then we're going to get to a spot where we're going to study the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to understand full well that you can do the things that the Bible says you can do. See, too many times people will read stuff in the Bible and they'll decide that it's something that maybe just the apostles could do, or just preachers or anointed pastors or some televangelist. But not for everyday folks. Jesus said, he that believes. I would say if anybody is qualified to qualify anybody, it would be Jesus. And he qualified everybody. He said, he that believeth. So what we got is sometimes some mental blocks that we have to deal with on our own personal basis that everybody has to. I had to. I remember when I was seeing stuff in the Bible, and I'd say, that's for me. And I'd ask some preacher, and they said, no. So I'd go home, and I'd ponder it, and finally, I got tired of preachers disqualifying me, so I just kind of hermitized myself. I went and got by myself and read the Bible and looked at it for what it said, and looked especially at what Jesus said, what the apostles said, especially in the epistles. You know, find out what really was meant for me. And when I finally found John chapter 14, verse 12, that cleared all the religious ideas up. But I did find some things that we really need to concentrate, and I call them the building blocks of faith. This first one is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And it tells us that we've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. He changed us. You got to realize, the minute you got born again, you got changed. Your spirit was completely changed. Your soul, however, your mind, will emotions, needed to be retrained. Your body, the Bible tells us that we have to do something with our body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So this is our first building block, understanding that you are a new creature in Christ. I spent a lot of time wishing that I could just start over with a clean slate. I didn't know that when I got born again, my slate was wiped clean. See, that's what happens. A new creature that has no past. A lot of people spend a lot of time worrying about their past. And that's not necessary. Jesus forgave you of your past. He dealt with that. You're on a new sheet with him. But what about all those people that know about my past? The best piece of advice I ever got was from this old Indian guy. He said, it's none of your business what they think about you. And it doesn't really matter. It's none of your real, it's none of your business what they think about you, and it doesn't really matter. But what does matter is what God says about you. That's what matters. So that's what we need to concentrate on. Now go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. See, that's how we were. You ever notice it seems so simple for people? You know, you would think, just don't do stupid stuff, people that aren't born again. Don't do stupid stuff. But they don't, a lot of times, have much of a choice. They walk according to the prince, the course of this world. The, what do they call it? The prince of the power of the air. You know, if they're not born again, they get led around by the prince of the power of the air. You wonder why people do stupid stuff? Because they got this thing here giving them stupid ideas. And they don't have a witness of the Holy Spirit telling them not to. So they grind it out. They try to do good things. They try to be good. They try to be good. But it's not possible for them, for the most part, to do that. But here's us. He changed us from children of Satan into children of God. One of the dangerous things is partly true. People preach to say get born again and live forever with Jesus. That is true. You get born again and you're going to be forever with Jesus. But if you don't get born again, you're still going to live forever. Just not with Jesus. You're going to be cut off. See, this is why it's so important for people to understand hell really is a bad consequence. Hell really is hot. But the important thing, once you get there, there's no getting out. And if you're not a child of God, you're a child of Satan. This is a harsh reality. But people have to know that. There are people running around that think, well, my mom was a Christian. I was born into a Christian family. I'm a Christian. Did you make a decision for Christ to be your Lord and Savior? Well, no. Then you're not a Christian. There are people that think because they're born in America, they're Christian. No. Did you make a decision for Christ? Now look over here to John. Let me make sure. John chapter 1 verse 12. We got brought into his family. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's how you become a child of God. Receive Jesus. When you receive Jesus, you become a child of God. You're born again. You're in the family. You've been adopted. You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. You've been brought from death unto life. You're part of the family. You're no longer to be led by that prince of the power there. You're free from that. Now, go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. See, when you get born again, that's what happened. You got made a new creature. He transferred you from the kingdom of darkness. What does that say? He delivered us from the power of darkness and he translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. You've been made a child of God. So now what? He actually translates us safely into the kingdom of light. You don't have to go there, but in Ezekiel it tells us that God gives a new spirit to each of us. One with his very life and nature in it. Think about that for a second. We've been talking all these Sundays about God wanting to see his glory on you. He wanting to see his virtue on you. This is the first step. Once you get born again, that life of God moves into the inside of you. Literally the Zoe kind of life. When the disciples were with Jesus and he started talking to them and said, here, eat, this is my flesh, and drink, this is my blood. And they said, this is a hard saying. And he said, but this, you get my life into you. Well, the ones that caught on to it, they started thinking about this. They said, this is the guy that healed lepers. This is the guy that raised the dead. I'm taking his life into me. This is the guy, they walked and slept and ate with this guy for 3 years. They never seen him have a sniffle. All the diseases, all the sicknesses, all the stuff that he came in contact with never attached to him. Why? Because he had the Zoe kind of life. And that's the life that we want in us. We want the Zoe kind of life. That kind of life that says shalom. You know, there's nothing missing. There's nothing broken. Every time we run into a challenge from the devil, we defeat it. Every time we run into a sickness, the person gets healed. Amen? That's what God started when he made you a new creature in Christ. And that's his goal for you, is to just keep bringing you forward from grace to grace. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Has anybody, since I said that, went back and read chapter 8? Y'all go read Romans chapter 8. It's cool. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Think about that. We are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Have you thought about that? You're a joint heir with Christ Jesus. What did Jesus own? Everything. He created everything. The Bible tells us that there was nothing made that was not made by him. It was made by his word. Jesus owns everything. We just won't get that through our head. We put our names on titles and we put our brands on animals and we put our marks on this and that. Jesus owns it. Okay? He owns it. And he's given it to us. Amen. He's the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. He's the head. We're the body. Jesus owns everything, and it all becomes ours as well. Once you get born again, you become a joint heir with Christ, a child of God. This is what joint ownership entails. You're on the same footing as Jesus. Jesus is not up here and we're down here. The Bible tells us that we got baptized into Christ. When we got born again, we got baptized into Christ. And then we got seated at the right hand of God. That's where Jesus is. He's seated at the right hand of God. We're in Him. Okay? He's the head. We're the body. We're equally yoked. We're yoked with Him. See, it's important to understand that you also ended up with equal authority. Because He gave you His name. He said, whatsoever you shall ask in My name, that will I do. He gave you the power of attorney to use His name. That means equal authority. That means, you know, when somebody has power of attorney, you're actually saying what that person mandated for you. And what you say, he backs. So when you tell the devil to get, Jesus backs that. You tell sickness to get, Jesus backs that. You have to understand, it's not you, it's Him. See, this is what makes it so fun. Then you don't have to be a hot rod to do the things that Jesus said you could do. Understand, the best picture I ever got of it was Oral Roberts was talking. He said, it seemed like when I reach out to pray for somebody, he said, I'd reach out and it was like there was a hand in front of mine. And Jesus, we reach out. Jesus, we're the body. He's the head. We reach out. Jesus in us. He's there. Said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. So we get made new creatures that have no past. It's simply time to start living life over. How do we do that? Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. This verse on Sunday. But this is the answer to a lot of people's challenges. 1 Peter chapter 2. Did I say that right? Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We all need to have a hunger for that word. See, the more we know Jesus, the more of these promises are going to come true in our life. The more we know Him. And I'm not talking about getting sidetracked on any one subject. Just go to Him. Everything is wrapped up in Him. All the promises are in Him. They're in Him. The more you know of Him, like He said, to take His yoke upon you and learn of Him. The more we learn of Him, the more revelation we're going to get of Him, and the more this other stuff is going to happen. He told us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto us. How are we going to do that? Learn of Him, about who He is, what He's done for us, what He's doing for us now. Look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that, he says, a new covenant He has made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. He is merciful to their unrighteousness. Their sins and iniquities he will remember no more. You got to understand, you are forgiven. Do not accept condemnation over your past life. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 is a very important verse for a lot of people that maybe come out of a colored past. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. God's not condemning you. God is not condemning you. Amen. The devil may bring condemnation to you. Then you just tell him, said, no, I'm forgiven by the blood of Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not having your condemnation. There's no condemnation for you. You are forgiven. Don't accept condemnation over your past. You're a new creature. You never existed before. When you got born again, you became a new person. Amen? But I look the same. Yeah, you live in a body too. That's what everybody sees is that body. But your spirit, the real you, what people don't see, became new. It never existed. You're a new being. Your old man died. You're new. You're a new creature. You never existed. This means there is no longer a past problem. Jesus took care of your past. It's only the future that matters now. Okay. It is only the future that matters now. If you make a mistake, go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. I was taught this. When I made a mistake, we were supposed to go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And I found out I was spending more time on my knees than I was on my feet, asking God to forgive me. Finally, somebody told me, said, you know, if you just shut up and listen, you hear God say, I already did forgive you 2,000 years ago. Now go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. And I thought, oh. So then I started developing a righteousness conscience instead of a sin conscience. And then I started being able to receive some of these new creation realities that I had been so desperately needing in my life. And this is one of them. Make this faith confession daily. I am a brand new creature in Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ. The second block is real close to it. It's in the same chapter and it's real close, but it's in verse 21. It says, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means everything that was wrong between you and God before you got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus. Now you're in right standing with Him. Not only do we become new creatures, but become the very righteousness of God. When you get born again, see, here's the thing. In Old Testament times and covenant days, when these guys would cut a covenant with each other, they'd cut the animals in half and they'd walk through these halves through the moo and the goo and all that stuff in a figure eight fashion. And one of the things they would do is they would swap coats. And they would put each other's coat on. And that's what happened to you when you got born again. Jesus put a robe of righteousness on you. You've been clothed with the robe of righteousness. Now you're in right standing with God because of what Jesus did. Okay? And it's nothing that you could have ever earned. Righteousness also means equity, innocence, and holiness. Equity means to have the same standing with God as Jesus does. You have the same standing with God as Jesus does. Have you ever thought about that? That's equity. That's what happened when he clothed you with his robe of righteousness. You have the same standing with God as Jesus does. How does God look at Jesus? However God looks at Jesus, that's the same way he looks at you. Do you think God has favor towards Jesus? He has that same favor towards you. Do you think God loves Jesus? The same love that he loved Jesus with is the same love that he loves you with. That's equity. We have the same standing with God that Jesus does. It also means that we share Jesus' innocence and holiness. This is not because of anything that we've done or could do. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. Always focus on Jesus. Remember, the Bible tells us to believe on him. Believe on him. How do we believe on him? Believe what he did for you on the cross. Have you thought of yourself as being innocent and holy lately? See, sometimes we got to just stop and look at ourselves the way God sees us. And in order to look at yourself the way God sees you, you're going to have to get a full grasp on the Bible reality that you're forgiven because of what Jesus did. I made a mistake. Yeah, thank God for the shed blood of Jesus that continually cleanses you from all sin. See, part of the thing about being able to operate in the kingdom the way you're designed to is to get rid of the muck that has bound you in your soul and your thinking for so long. You've got to know that that's been washed away by the blood, and to walk in it, you're going to have a revelation of it. See, this should bring joy to you. This should bring joy. And that's part of that's the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. That means love and joy in the Holy Ghost. It should bring joy to you, but you're frowning. Are you just concentrating that hard? Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 32. And we'll finish. We'll get this thing tied up. Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" That's good news. Here's another really cool verse right after that. So, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies." The devil, his job is to throw accusations towards you. And he does it 24/7. He's got his little demons that throw accusations towards you. Every single Christian has to deal with this. The devil is going to throw accusations towards you, throw fiery darts at you to try to get you to fall for condemnation, to try to get you to fall into fear, to try to get you to step away from the faith, to try to get you to fall into doubt and humbly, to try to get you to give up. But don't do that. You know that you're clothed with the robe of righteousness, and you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? One thing we need to know is that He is faithful to us. He is just to us. He forgives us. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You should say that often to yourself. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Especially when you make a mistake. That should be the first thing out of your mouth. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But I feel like a rat. Do it by faith. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to have condemnation. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. And we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus. We thank you for everything that he does for us. We thank you for everything that he is doing for us now. We thank you for all the new creation realities that we learn one day at a time, little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept. But we thank you for them. It brings more light into us. It brings more glory to us. So that we can walk in your kingdom the way you want us to. And people will praise your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.